Welcome back, Silver Fox of the show.
Welcome. How's it?
You nice?
I'm good.
Good. The makers don't end. We have one more.
There's so many of them.
Tiba.
Yes.
Welcome to the Angle Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing, sir?
I am good.
To people out there who may not know who Tiba is, do you mind looking into that camera and introducing yourself to our viewers?
Okay. So my name is Tiba Mahlizana. I'm a software developer, a very passionate software developer. So I run a small company, software development agency.
Nice.
I'm a maker as well.
Yeah. Ah, you make softwares?
Yes, I make software, not physical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. You wouldn't be part of the maker space if you don't make things, right?
If you don't make things, yes.
Nice. So what's your background? How did you, where do you come from and how did you get into this industry of making software?
Stuff, yes. I remember the first time when I saw the computer. I think I was in grade 3.
Grade 3?
Yes.
Emakaya?
Emakaya.
Nice.
But we were lucky because they did manage to secure and have computers at that time.
That's nice.
I think it was 2002. So the computers were only allowed to be used by your senior. I think that was grade 9, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we would look on the window while they were using those computers. You know those computers back then, they had a screen.
Yeah. The one with the big heads.
Yeah, with the big... and I was
the green text. Yeah,
the
yeah.
green text, yes. I remember it was Windows 98, I would see. So they would go there and use paint and stuff like that. So we look on the windows and I got very excited about this thing. So that's how I felt in love with computers. And then there was a friend of mine who was also very interested in tech. So we had a magazine. We would read about Bill Gates and stuff like that. We were making research and stuff. So past high school, then I decided to go and take IT. Yeah.
Oh, as a course.
As a course. And then I did IT. After that, I decided, employment was not my thing. Yeah.
It was never your thing?
Yeah, it's never my thing. I've never been employed anywhere.
You've... Wow.
Never had a contract.
Zero, nothing?
Zero, zero.
It's its own kind of struggle, employment. So.
Yes. Mm. So I was a maker from very, very long time, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then from there, that's when now I decided to say I can go into entrepreneurship, I can do software,
yeah,
IT and stuff like that, yes.
So what are you actually making now? What are you doing today?
I have a couple of projects going on. Yeah, one interesting one is we are doing a TTS engine, it's called. So an AI voice, to say. So it can speak in South African accent. Have you seen your Google Assistant, Siri and stuff like that? Yeah, those ones, even if they are those that are trained to speak the Zulu or isiXhosa or Tswana, the local languages. But you can tell with the accent. With this one that we are doing, even if it speaks English, you can tell that's a South African who's speaking. So we use South African speakers to train it. Yeah.
So that's interesting, man.
That's nice. Yeah. What is that for? Like, is that for a particular service or a particular part of the market or?
Oh yeah, it's for a client who runs a platform. Yeah. So he wants to have that voice integration. Yeah.
Nice.
Target the local the local market.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yes. Interesting. Are you familiar?
But the uses, I think they are a lot.
It depends on him.
Yeah.
He can use it on multiple other applications. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Google LLM?
Yeah.
Now imagine you have the African voices on that creating podcasts.
Yeah. You can do it.
That'd be nice. Just thinking about it. I mean, all of these voices that you hear there are just Western voices. It's like Canadian people.
Absolutely.
With American or British accent.
Yeah.
So
you guys are bringing an African voice onto that.
African voice on that. Even if it can speak English, but then we want to hear that accent.
Nice.
Local accent.
So you're an AI developer?
I'm a software developer. I don't want to pose as an AI.
Okay.
So I came in AI purely from a from a software development perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you do AI products?
Like this one, yes. Yeah. Then there's another project that we did in robotics.
Okay.
I'm a robot to collect and sort trash. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, yes, I do stuff like that.
Mm. Tell us more about that one. So, you trained a robot to identify different kinds of trash so it could separate it appropriately.
Appropriately, yes. Especially
that's in a recycling. It's not easy, though.
It's not easy, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us more about that project. That's interesting. Yes, yeah.
So this one specifically was just an MVP.
Okay.
Yes, for a client that came to the makerspace. So what she wanted is she runs a warehouse kind of a thing.
Okay.
That's what I've heard, yes. So she wanted a robot to go around and pick trash. That's your paper, your metal, or plastic. So it can put it them on the appropriate thing.
Right, right.
Because there's laboratories out there that haven't figured that out.
That, yeah.
So did it work?
It did work. It yeah. did work. It's not accurate. I don't want to lie to you.
Yeah, because it's not an easy problem. That's a problem that has actually been solved yet. Really.
Yeah. But you see, with specifically that warehouse, because they have specific material that they're using. So we're training using their data.
Okay.
To see, they're not manufacturing everything. Especially plastic is very hard to to separate plastic. You know.
But did you at least get it to a point where you could identify metal, paper, plastic?
Plastic and then sort it. Yeah. In that specific environment, I don't know. So, it's a difficult problem if you can say, I can put it on a street.
No, I would imagine you'd have to train it to a
but in a closed environment, in a warehouse, to say, these are the products we make. There's no way you can see this kind of plastic here. Yeah.
So, I mean, just like taking a broader market view on that, I mean, those are kind of products that I can see, or solutions rather, I should say, that... that I can see the demand for increasing as these capabilities become a little more accessible within robotics or AI.
Yes.
You can see the demand for that. Are you looking in that space at all?
Yes, I am. Yes, we are looking. I am looking in that space to do more on that. Yeah.
I was thinking, are you thinking of more products or is that a service that you guys will be rendering?
Mostly, yes.
Is that a product or a service that your business will be? Are you going to create more products similar to that?
Yes.
Or are you searching for customers that have a need for such technologies?
Yes. No, we are searching for customers that have a need. We don't have a product that's specifically ours. Yeah. So if you come to us to say, I have this idea, we want this thing to do something like this, more service render.
No.
So when you're building these things for these clients, whether it's the language model stuff or whether it's the trash sorting, is that your IP or are you just...
It's the IP, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I would have suggested doing it the other way. But
I do it the other way, yeah.
Because you're making pretty big solutions there. Those are pretty big problems that are being solved to some extent.
Are you thinking of giving them a product?
No, I'm saying if... If you own the software behind that, which you don't, you just said.
Yeah.
If you owned it, there's scalability, there's footholds onto much bigger things.
Yeah, but then they would also have to incur the cost of that software.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You have to create an entire value chain around
choose
that.
Choose your poison.
And you see, with the stage that we're in, the problem with the startups or makers in our country, understand, you have to first close the survival gap. That means you work purely based on something that pays you now.
Then
maybe in the future we might say, I have this idea, then I can have time to just go and build it. You understand?
Nice. Are you saying there isn't enough funding in the space?
I think there is, but it's very difficult to access, you see. They're looking at a lot of things.
I would imagine being part of a community like the Makerspace, Simulong, would help with such things. Are you finding enough help from being part of the community?
I would say not enough, but there is. I don't think we have figured out the way to kind of know how this thing works, how we can Yeah, make these companies grow, like your Silicon Valley there.
So we haven't figured out how to package our service and our products such that we get investments from...
You get investment and then it goes to the market. Yeah. Okay. This model that says this client-based, you know, service rendering is working for us now. I think we do have the skills. It's not specifically a situation that I am experiencing.
Right.
I think a lot of us...
Yeah, it's not a skills problem, no.
It's an investment problem.
That's interesting. Are you saying the country has enough skills, we don't have enough products?
I would say so. Like in your example, when you were telling me about the stuff you built, those are not easy... They're not easy things to solve. Like the language model is slightly easier than the trash-picking one, but they're still ultimately... difficult.
Yeah.
And the demand for those kind of things are only set to increase as those solutions become more accessible. Like if I've got a small business and I'm like, okay, typical example of separating things, which is like a very sort of boring manual labor that you have to pay someone to do. If you can pay a once off to have a machine do it that allocates things appropriately, that's a business win. That means it makes sense for me to pay for your service or your solution rather than in the long run, which may be a little more expensive in the short run, but in the long run, it's going to save me a lot of money. So, I mean, those, and that's accessible now. Like those kind of solutions are in the space where, okay, as a small business owner, there's a software problem there that's becoming more and more accessible, whether it's from an AI build or, you know, and transferring that into like a, you know, a robotic in some sense. Those sort of technology solutions are becoming more accessible. So it's like, okay, I mean, like, I think you're in a good space to build some really cool stuff, and I just think, if it's an investment problem or maybe the market's not quite ready yet, but I think the market's coming.
It's getting there. Yeah,
I would imagine there are a lot of recycling businesses out there, and they're stuck with trash just piled up together, and they spend a lot of time trying to sort that trash. Now, if you have a technology that can cut your time in doing that, it makes you more productive.
More productive, yes.
Interesting. Any other cool products that you guys are working on at the makers?
Outside from what I do.
Yeah. Any other products, projects that you're collaborating on that you find very cool?
I'm a bit...
I know you always have a project on your table.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody wants your time, you're like...
He doesn't want to expose himself what he's working on.
Yeah, he's too cool to share.
Stuff like that, yeah. I also do apps, you know. Yeah,
you build mobile apps.
Mobile apps, yeah. Software.
This man is a jack of all trades.
Not really.
What mobile app are you working on now? Or is it too early to tell?
Not too early to tell. Yes. So I remember when I was staying Lokshin, you know. You know the Capitec bank users. What would happen?
What a plug for Capitec.
Sorry?
You plug in Capitec.
Capitec. Most of us, most of the people in my family and people I know, sorry about that.
No problem.
Yes, they're using Capitec. You understand? If you want to send money to them or you want to receive money, even me, I was forced to open that account. You understand? So just to plug in into the ecosystem. Mm. So now the problem that we have is your ATM. You understand? You have to go long queue and then on ShopRite if you want to send money and stuff like that. There was this thing just before or after the payday, a lot of people want to send money. Say, I have this cash with me. You understand? Could you please, if you have it on your account, send it to someone else. I'll give you this cash. You understand? So, I made an app to facilitate. You know, to find people who want to send cash, and then they can, and those who want to receive cash. You understand?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm explaining it.
Also not an easy solution. Okay.
Yes, not an easy
solution. Yeah. So Scott wants to send money to you.
The way we do it, let me just put a scenario.
Sure.
So I'm sitting there, from the villages, you know, I'm a mine worker.
Sure.
So I just got paid now. The money just got into my account. I see it on my phone.
Sure.
There is my, let's say, my 8,500 rand salary. I don't have cash with me. I just need to take transport now. So I say, hey, Scott, man, you have your 100 rand with you there. I will send it to you on my, you see, from my Capitec account to you. Then you give me cash.
Mm.
You understand?
Okay.
So in a way, okay, I've just withdrawn money from you, and then I send you via the Capitec app or whatever bank.
Right.
Then you give me the cash.
Ah.
So in that way, we're kind of dodging the ATM. So in this app, we're facilitating that to say
those transactions.
Yes. To say who wants to send money or who has cash. But I understand there are safety precautions.
Yeah. And how far are you at? Are you at least at MVP now?
Yeah, at least on MVP. Yeah, you can install it and try
it out. Search
people. Yeah, it locates people, and then you can say, "I want to send this money" and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, it's like Uber.
Yeah, more of like Uber for cashbacks. Yeah.
Also, if I was I could just look who around me has lots of cash and just start nailing them.
But but you understand it works on a certain parameter. That means on the same street, maybe. Yeah, it can't be too far because you still need to meet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Scott, do not get on this app. You already have.
Yeah. So is there like ideas. A cost there? Like, how does that? Who pays? Like, how does that? How do you get paid, for example?
How do you get paid? Yeah. The long-term plan was to say if we can have a lot of users, you know, a lot of user base, then you can just sell this thing maybe to a bank or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're building value to sell.
So it's not like if I gave you 100 rand cash, you would send me like 105 rand or 100.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, that kind of
people
that kind
on of the deal. Side, I think they do that. Okay. Yeah, they do charge 10 rand. Yeah, 10 rand more. To
because I know that business model is already out there. Exactly. I know a number of spaza shops are trying the same thing. You can actually go to a spaza shop and draw money. As you buy, you can, because you don't have cash and you don't want to queue at the ATM, you can actually just tap and they give you money back.
They give you money.
So there is...
But they charge you a little
bit. Of course, they don't charge you like more than the bank would actually charge you because of the convenience they're bringing for you.
Those are the thing, though. Those are the kind of like practical street-level solutions I really like. Like those are like the kind of... It's really microtransactions, so they don't get the news headlines because billions of rands going back and forth. But it's like it adds up to billions of rands, right? Like, and it's just the volume of transactions going on. Yeah. It's a nice little solution. It's like if you explore the Ethiopian quarter down the road here and on the other side of town, like the hundreds of millions of rands that get transferred products-wise, it's all cash-based, right?
Yeah, it's all cash.
And how that gets managed, and like, I don't know. But I mean, you know, those guys, they also have solutions. They've got their means to do things.
All right, nice. Yeah. Tiba, thank you so much for coming through, my man. Anything else?
Not from my side. No, I'm sure we'll chat again.
No, we'll sure make some more time.
When
your products are ready to go out to market, we'll invite you back.
And I'll also bring some demo.
Yes, please bring demos.
we pimp products here. That's what we do.
We're out here.
I can see.
These are your colleagues here.
My colleagues, yeah. My
Anything colleagues. You want to say to our viewers in closing? How do they get hold of you if they want to build an AI project or they want an app to be developed? How do they reach out to you?
We can find this on Google Business, on Google specifically. If you search this TA Technologies, or Tsimolohong, you'll definitely find us. Yeah.
Cool. And we'll leave the links and all the details in the description box below. It's been The Angle Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, please do like, subscribe, share, follow us on all our social media platforms. Again, links and all the information in the description below. Till next time.
See ya.